who's just came out for football in high school this year, kicks a career-long 34-yard field goal with 4 seconds left in the game. I mean, it kind of brings out the best in both teams, and you always get top performances out of your top players.
Are we, you think the quality of play this weekend will be greatly improved over last weekend?
Definitely, although, I mean, like I said, in that particular game, just because both of those teams had such a long layoff,
three
you could
weeks.
See maybe the first quarter being a little rough. But I think in general, yeah, I think the quality of play, because, you know, it was just trying to get back to normalcy and even have a practice last week, whereas now I think you're back to the real routine of regular hard practices leading up to a tough game.
All right, so 28 of the 43 Shore Conference teams have made the playoffs. And I think, you know, sometimes we in the media look at things differently. I've always said at the end of the day, what you have to realize is the game is for the kids, and we all know what the state playoffs mean to football players. But we've eliminated 15 teams during the course of the season, and we actually have a Shore Conference team playing in the playoffs that's won one game. I mean, is this what the state wanted?
It's a little rough.
Oh, I mean,
well, to answer your question, that's what they wanted.
Yeah, it is what they wanted. I mean, I think they
wanted
the
fees. They want to collect the money, and they want to have more teams be included. And I just think it's, you know what it is? It just cheapens it. It gets back to the, you know, you're not earning anything now. It's just being kind of given to you.
I mean, if you're 500 and you're, you know, your strength of schedule and your power points line up, I'm okay with that. But boy, I mean, modern day getting into the playoffs with one win or just filling brackets out for the sake of filling brackets out. Scott, I think you referenced it. Maybe we talked about it before we even went on the air tonight, when the playoffs used to be four teams. I mean, talk about having to earn it. That was having to earn it. When only four teams per group got in, and then everyone said, well, let's make it a little bit more and add that extra round. And I think for the most part people were okay with it. But, I mean, I remember when I was an athlete in school and played at Wall, and, you know, we didn't qualify for the playoffs the years that I was there. But when it was four teams, I mean, you knew if you lost a game, let alone two, you're not making the state playoffs. No chance.
Yeah, I think the eight had to be, because there were years where their teams were 7-1 or 6-2 not getting in. But now, in some of these brackets, you get to three wins, or in the modern days bracket, because there's only 10 teams that are even eligible for it, and other ones are winless, so you're getting in above them. I think the new benchmark is going to be winning a first-round game. Because everyone's going to say, oh, we've made the playoffs 15 years in a row. When you say, well, that might not be much of an accomplishment. How many years have you made the semifinals?
I know what Coach Chirapa, right, at modern day, I know his philosophy. And I read it in the Asbury Park Press today how, you know, his team, they want to get to that next level. And his team has got to experience a playoff action. They're in a bracket with St. Mary. They're in a bracket with St. Joe's Hamilton that have won, what,
21
championships. What will a matchup against them be like? Come on. St. Mary's is going to be
almost as bad.
They're
undefeated, and they've been in 13 championship games.
Exactly.
Yeah, I
don't know if they're getting anything out of that, Kevin.
I thought Steve Falk had a really good piece in the Asbury Park Press today.
Right.
And I agree with Steve. And, again, doesn't mean we're right. But the whole thing with the Shore Conference, you know, where they've expanded all these tournaments because they want X number. So if you have a 500 record. I mean, to me, 500 is mediocrity. Mm-hmm. It's not good and it's not bad. It's mediocrity. It's okay.
Well, I mean, Kevin, you talk about expanding things out a little bit, and it's no different with every other sport, which I know is where you're going. I mean, again, using personal experience as a former soccer coach, when I first started at Rumson, it was when it was you took the 16 teams. You took your division winners, and there was a committee that basically put anybody else in. And if you were team number 17, you'd probably have a great argument, but you're not going into the tournament that year. And then, you know, towards the end of my tenure there and then coaching at Wall, it expanded into 500. And I always used to say, you know, for the Shore Conference tournament, boy, if you got to be 500 or better to be in that one, it almost becomes the same thing as the state tournament. You know, it was nice where...
Tougher, I think.
It was nice where there used to be one where you had to really excel to get in. And if they wanted to make the state tournament, something 500 or vice versa, I would be okay with it. But to have both of them now basically say, hey, at this cutoff, as long as you're 500 or better, you're getting in.
And I just think it cheapens the regular season. You know, you build up these games, and at the end of the day, you're like, you know what, it really doesn't matter if you win or lose because everybody's going to the playoffs anyway.
I agree with you, too. You know, with the argument with the Shore Conference, when they would say, well, Team 17 is really good, Team 17's not winning it.
Yeah.
They may get in, but they're not winning it, okay? So, it's, you know, and we've seen it everywhere. The NCAA men's basketball tournament, 65 teams. You know, so let's go to 120. I mean, you know,
69
like,
now, isn't
I mean,
it?
And number 65 is never going to win it.
It's never going to win it, you know. But I just think, listen, I understand the eight teams. But if there's not enough quality teams, I'm okay with the top two seeds getting a bye.
Because, again, that reinforces the regular season. Because if you worked hard to get that number one or two seed and you didn't have teams qualify, you deserve to have a bye into the next round.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Team 1 probably doesn't mind playing Team 8 in that case because it's like going through a practice. But let me tell you what.
But not always. How many years in Central 3 did a Mercer County team get a Shore Conference team that just got in? I'm thinking more like this. Rick Memorial, how many years were they a number 8 and stung
Modern Day's playing St. Mary's, right?
Yes.
Okay. What if St. Mary's quarterback gets hurt? And, you know, meaningless play or whatever early in the game, so now he might be out. You know, listen. We're not winning the argument. It's not going back. I mean, listen, I always say like that, you can yell all you want. The NJSIAA is not going back.
And it's just so crazy how close we were to getting overall.
Yeah, to get overall.
Yeah,
right.
We thought
that
we were,
got voted
we
down.
We went from a heartbeat to actually having a valued state playoff system like in most other states, and then we rolled it back, you know, to basically, you know what, just find yourself a couple of wins and you're going to be playoff bound.
The state will never use the term watered down, though.
No.
They say it gives more kids an opportunity to experience the playoffs.
Well,
that's always their take.
All right.
Don't agree.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We're talking high school football as we always do on, boy, we got on the soapbox pretty good there. We got to get off of that thing and get the reins back in. It's a Thursday night. We're at the Water Street Grill. They got Thursday night football tonight, Bills and Dolphins. They'll have it on here. They got everything on here. This is a great, great place with great food and great atmosphere. And we like being here every Thursday night. And you're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.
You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
On the eve of the state football playoffs tomorrow night, we'll be in the first quarter of games around the state at this time. We talked a little bit about Long Branch, their opponent tomorrow night. In an opening round state sectional are the Huskies of Mattawan. We are delighted that their first-year head coach, John Kay, has joined us and has brought a couple of his players. We're going to start with senior lineman Seamus Weldon, and Dan Enkel join us just a moment. John, first of all, thanks so much for coming down tonight. It's been an exciting first season for you as head coach, of course. You've been at Mattawan for a long, long time. Joe Martucci steps down, moves over to the college ranks. You're the guy. How has this season been for you, and how much has your previous head coaching experience at Hillside been a help to you in taking over this job?
Well, it's been a great experience here. You know, I've been at Mattawan for a long time. I've been actually here 2 tenures here. I was here 85 and 86. Left for a while, came back in 94, so I've been there. You know, the experience is, you know, we're a program. It's Mattawan football. It's the faces change and the roles change, but it's, you know, it's all about the program and the kids and the school and the community. It's not about me or anybody else. So, you know, I've been on the staff for a long time. I think the young men in the program know, hey, that's Coach K, and whether he's the head coach or the line coach or the D coordinator, they know what I stand for and what we're about. So, you know, things have been pretty smooth transition-wise. As for my experience as a head coach, you know, that just helps you out with some of the stuff off the field that helps you with, you know, some of that experience that helps a lot.
Let me just follow up with
this.
How different is it being a head coach now as it was for you previously in terms of, and it's probably not the stuff on the field, it's probably the stuff off the field.
Absolutely. You know, back then I was a head coach. I was 27 years old or 28 years old. So we were very simple in what we did because we didn't know a whole lot. So so we ran what we ran and we did what we did, and we tried to be great at it. You know, here we're a little more complex, and We have a larger coaching staff, and you know, the organization of things, the practice plans, the scheme, the call sheets, everything, and having everybody be on the right page when we go out on the field. So my kind of role is, you know, make the plan, make everything else, and so that when we go on the field and our coaches are prepared and our ball players are prepared, they know we're going from this drill to that drill, and everyone is in sync and cohesive.
Seamus, I'll put you on the spot here. How has this year been different under Coach K than it was under Coach Martucci last year and the previous years?
Well,
Are they the same type of coach, or you know what I mean?
Well, there's things that are the same and some things that change. Like we're running a completely different offense than we did last year. And at the beginning, it was kind of hard to pick up. But now as everything starts rolling, we got it all together, and that we're doing really well with that. So that's like really the only thing that's different is just the different offense that we used to run.
Now, the season has gone pretty good so far. A couple weeks ago, you played Long Branch.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
I mean, when that game is over and you realize the possibility exists, you could meet in the playoffs. Is that what you wanted?
Yes, 100%.
There's not much doubt about that. Huh? He's not being very subtle about that.
Well, then I'll bring Coach K in here and say, okay, now your last game was, I don't know, what do they call it, a cancellation? It's not a forfeit, although it was supposed to be against New Brunswick. And by the way, I remember a few years back when New Brunswick had one of the top programs, and they were the Zebras, right?
Absolutely.
They were beating everybody. They were scoring 40 and 50 points against everybody. Now, all of a sudden, they're afraid to come down to Mattawan and play
you? You got Dwayne Jarrett and guys like that. They're
yes,
not afraid to
exactly.
play anybody, you know?
Yeah, let's talk about
what
that.
What happened?
You obviously... when all those games were postponed because of the storm, and that was throughout New Jersey, and then you were scheduled to play them last week, and I think very late in terms of preparation for a high school football game, you basically find out that they claim they can't field a competitive team. It's not a forfeit. It's a cancellation. You don't get a win. You get a tie. You lose some points out of that.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate circumstance, and I was on the phone continuously to our athletic director and our administration. We work diligently to try to get the game, and not only for our football players and our program, but for our community. You know, in the storm, you know, we took some pretty, you know, big hits in the Clifford Beach area over there, and you know, our kids hadn't been in school, and it was homecoming, it was senior day, and I pleaded with the coach. I said, listen, just come and play. It's an important day for our community. But you know, he felt like he couldn't round his boys up, and you know, he told me one day, he said, I'm gonna have to play some freshmen. And I said, well, we start three freshmen, so you know, but whatever it takes, you know, unfortunately that's water under the bridge, so we're going to move forward, and you know, it's an unfortunate circumstance for our community, but you know, we're going to play some playoff football now, and you know, that's past us.
Seamus, you know, the headlines go to the running backs and the quarterback and everybody, right?
Yeah.
What's it take to play the offensive line though?
Well, originally it was a tight end.
Okay, that's a little better,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he looked like a tight end.
Yeah.
He looks like a tight end.
Yeah, it was a tight end. But our right tackle went away all summer, all these different camps. So they needed me to fill in a right tackle, so I did. And at first I didn't like it too much, but now I absolutely love it. It's a lot of fun to get to hit someone every play. So.
And it's nice when that running back goes over 100 yards, right?
Yeah, it's very nice.
How about the fact you guys have not played in a long time? Now, similar to Long Branch, right? That was your last game. It's going to be 3 weeks. Has it almost been like a mini camp the last couple of weeks? I know that first week was tough because not too many people got in anywhere. But the last couple of weeks, have you almost felt like it's like starting fall practice over again?
Not really, because even though we did have a break, like the guys knew what needed to be done. At first we thought we had New Brunswick, then they canceled, and then we just went right away to, well, who are we going to play in the playoffs? We found out it was Long Branch, and this was the best week of practice we've ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
Been a real upbeat week for you guys?
Definitely.
And you're playing defense too, right?
No, not
too
so
much. No.
No, just the right tackle.
Defensive end coach? No,
nah,
we don't need him.
Plays right tackle.
You trying to go a little two platoon or what?
That's my man over there. He blocks the strong side of our offense, and he handles that whole right side of the line. He's the man.
I asked Coach George, and really we won't know the answer till tomorrow night, but, you know, who's got the advantage in that rematch, the team that won or the team that lost? you've probably been able to rally a little bit or use it as more of a rallying thing. Is there an advantage, you think, at all?
I don't know. I heard Coach George say that game probably comes down to two or three plays, and it does, you know. We're on a 21-yard line, fourth and a yard and a half, and, you know, we don't get it, and they go down, and they convert on fourth down like three times and make a field goal that goes over the crossbar by about 8 inches. So that's what Mattawan Long Branch football comes down to. So, you know, like Seamus said before, you know, we came in when the game was canceled over the weekend. We split our team in two on Saturday, and we had to get after it.
There you go.
We had to get after it scrimmage. We had a great time. We played hard. We hit each other. We played high-paced tempo football. And then we came to practice on Monday, raring to go, when we knew it was playoff time, and this team is amped up, and we are ready to go.
Coach, you put together a tremendous staff. You know, when you got guys like Jay Bellamy and Kenny Manderville on his staff, you know, two all-time greats, you know, at Mattawan, got to help you in your first year.
No doubt. You got a guy like Jay Bellamy, 14 years in the NFL. You know, special teams, all kinds of things like that. Ken Manderville played at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. The great thing that is a part of our staff is the ties to the community in the town, though. I mean, between Dave Monroe, played at Monmouth University as a tight end, Mattawan grad. Charlie Marsh is a Mattawan grad. Kenny Manderville is a Mattawan grad. Jay Bellamy is a Mattawan grad. Scott Davis is a Mattawan grad. Nick Citro, Mattawan grad. Those guys bleed maroon and steel. And, you know, they plead with our kids to have them understand what it means to walk on hallowed ground out there, you know, on Barry Rizzo Stadium and Bruce McCutcheon, you know, those names. And, you know, that's what Mattawan's all about. So those hometown guys coming back to coach are a great thing for us.
Synonymous with Shore Conference football and success. We're going to throw one more for Seamus, and then we're going to have his teammate kind of take his place. You're a senior, so this is the shot. At, you know, this is your last shot. Listen, this is a program that's been in three straight sectional finals, won two of them. You know, they're going to win a lot more, but it's your last chance. So what's that feeling going to be like running onto the field tomorrow night?
It's going to be amazing. Just all the adrenaline pumping, and you're just going to want to go after it, and it's going to be awesome.
Any thoughts on college at all? Or?
Looking at a couple schools, and they're looking at me, so I'm just waiting to see what happens with that.
Coach, can he play somewhere next year?
He can play. He's got a couple FBS schools in communication with him. He took an informal in the Holy Cross the other day. The coach of Monmouth University likes him. He's been involved with Lehigh and Naval Academy, a couple other places.
So, needless to say, that would indicate that he's a pretty good student.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, good luck, young man.
Thank you very
much. Thanks for joining us. Now we're going to let him walk over, and his replacement is going to replacement. We're going to have another teammate join us.
Coach, let me ask him one question about last year. One of the greatest defensive efforts I've ever seen on a football field, that 3-0 victory over Rumson.
Yeah,
tell
absolutely.
Us about it.
Well, you know what? It's just the heart of the dog, you know, the kid in Mattawan. You know what? We were shorthanded. We had some situations going on where we were short some guys. We didn't have a great offensive team. We have a big bruising tailback in Larry Olsen, and we felt we could run off tackle and control the football. And
played a great game. A tremendous game.
Play great defense and go, and that's what was our plan. And you know what? We gritted it out, you know, whatever it took, and that was it.
Well, one of the keys to your defense this year is this guy who's just sat down next to me, a senior linebacker by the name of Dan Inkle. I remember his brother a couple years ago was a heck of a football player. How are you tonight?
Doing pretty good.
You heard your teammate. Will you be better on than he was on the air here?
Yeah, I'll try.
You'll try? Okay. You know, Coach talked about the community. And are you a lifer at Mattawan? Are you born and raised in Mattawan?
Yeah, I've moved there since I was one. So
okay. So, what, I mean, was it always your dream? I mean, did you have this thing like, I can't wait to play football for Mattawan?
Well, not really. I played baseball until I was freshman in high school. And I didn't pick up football until my sophomore year, actually.
Really?
So, yeah. My brother kind of convinced me to play. So.
He kind of convinced you. He had a lot of success, too.
Yeah, I try to mirror that.
So how has the experience been for you? I mean, now you're a senior as well, right? So, I mean, your last go-around, I mean, when you realize when you go to practice, there's only a few more of them left, and then it's over.
I know. I'm trying to cherish it. I mean, high school football is a very big part of Mattawan, so it's been a great ride, and hopefully try to go out with a bang with a nice ring.
You know, Ed, I want to ask Coach a question, too, before you jump back. You know, you talk about program, and we always say that there are a handful of schools that you call it a program. Because, listen, there's ups and downs and everything, but what is it that allows programs like yours? The names change, the kids change, and sometimes the coaches change, but the W's continue. Why does that happen?
You grow up in Mattawan, those little guys, we have football practice, and there'll be 50 little kids running around getting ready to jump on their Pop Warner and AYF teams running around out there. There's some of those kids are 4 and 5 years old playing flag, and they got maroon shirts on. They say Huskies on the back, and those kids, come game time, I got to take 30 of them and say, guys, you can't be on the sideline during the game. You know? But, you know, they live to play football, those kids in that town, and it's a great thing, you know. And also the cohesiveness of the coaching staff. And we've had coaches in our building that have been there for the longest time, you know, between myself and Sam Turner and some of those guys. They're just, you know, just staples in that program, and they, you know, live and breathe football and build winners.
Danny, you're in the middle, right?
Yeah.
Call the defensive signals?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, that's good. You don't have to call me sir, please.
We don't call them.
But anyway, I'll give you a chance now because they're going to be mad if you don't. But mention some of the other guys around you up there on defense.
Well, defensively, we have a very good squad. John Alston, Glenn Cross, Kayshawn's very good in our secondary. Glenn's kind of had a transition from linebacker to defensive back, but he's made a very good transition, and we've run smoothly the whole year. So hasn't been a big problem, but we've been playing good defensively. So
how about some of the guys up front?
We have some pretty big linemen. Doug Weber, Chris Veary, in and out. Lamine Span comes in at DN a lot. Nicky Tompkins flirted with DN, but like back with linebacker. But yeah, defensively up front, we're pretty good. So,
Coach, tell us a little bit about Danny.
Dan Ingles, you know what? He's talking all that baseball stuff. His baseball coach is probably the guy that got him out here, so that was me.
That was you, yeah.
But he's a high-speed, high-tempo, high-paced linebacker. He runs sideline to sideline downhill. His linebacker coach, Charlie Marsh, is after him like crazy every day. Run downhill, and Danny just amps it up to another speed sometimes, and I'm sure some of our opponents – you know, figure how'd he get there, but he's fast, and that's what we try to play the game fast. So we have speed all over the field, and that's a big part of what we try to do is play the game fast.
4-3 alignment?
We're
mix it up.
We're pretty multiple, you know, that's our base. We're a 4-3 two high, two shell defense, but we're not in that regularly, you know, we move around.
You know, you mentioned Sammy Turner decided to retire this year, right, from football? Or is he with the freshmen?
He's coaching the freshmen.
Yeah, he's coaching the freshmen, right? He decided to move down. But he's been there forever, right?
Yeah, Sam Turner, he's out there still old Sam ordinary self coaching the freshmen now, you know. But I'll tell you what, I turned around the other day, and our freshman coaches do a great job. Justin Bloss is down there with Bob Witeka, and I turn around, and I'll see all my freshmen lined up and doing drills, and drills that most varsity teams would be doing.
That's
so
what you want.
It's only going to benefit the program to have a guy with that kind of a coaching background down there.
How about Coach Martucci?
Yeah, I was just going to ask him.
Has he been around? I mean, have you talked to him?
He actually came by today. First time we've seen him in a while.
Okay.
Yeah, Coach Martucci came by. You know, he calls me regularly. I've been on the phone. Mr. Britton calls me. Butch Britton calls me. A lot of the former coaches, you know, just call and say, hey, Coach, we love what you're doing, you know, blah, 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 blah. But Joe's doing well, you know.
Enjoy at Kane, right?
Said he likes it. He says, you know, it's a lot more intense. He said, you know, it moves faster paced. You know, they're getting in and out of, you know, when we're yelling to kids, come on, come on, come on, let's go. Their kids are going. So, you know.
Got a feeling he may be there tomorrow night, huh?
Oh, he'll be there.
Yeah.
You want to talk about somebody bleeds maroon?
Yeah, I know he does. Yeah,
he'll be there.
Sure.
Danny, how about you after this year? Would you like to play the game somewhere on the collegiate level? Or?
Oh, well, football-wise, I haven't really looked at any schools yet.
Miguel Cabrera, MVP. Did you see it on TV? Right?
Yeah,
a little while ago? Okay.
Well, I was thinking about making a film tape by the end of the year to see if I get some looks. But as of right now, I'm trying to go for baseball.
Your brother's at Marist, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Sophomore?
Junior.
Junior, yeah. And playing a little bit, right?
Back yeah, he's up. Second string. He's getting in and out there, yeah.
Long Branch, Mattawan tomorrow night, man. That's got a sound to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, like I'm sure Danny said, I didn't hear Danny real well. But, you know, we talked after the game the other day. I said, you know what, field goal 4 seconds to go. It wouldn't be Mattawan, Long Branch if it happened any other way. That seems like it always comes down to the last few seconds or something going on in that game, you know. So we're excited. We relish the opportunity to go back there, and, you know, we just can't wait to get it on. So.
You like the bracket, Coach? You're in the bottom of the bracket with Neptune, away from Neptune, who beat you rather handily this year.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure you'd like to get another shot at him in
Absolutely.
The finals, right?
Yeah.
But you like the bracket? You like
Sure.
The,
I mean, there's good football everywhere. Yeah. You know, we went out
Some
out
good
west.
Teams in that bracket.
We went out west last week and saw Nottingham play, just in case. So we saw the Nottingham-Hopewell Valley game. You know, nice club, do a good job. You know, couldn't be happier for Jay Price and all the guys over at Manasquan. I mean, not to, you know, wish ill on Brunson,
right.
but, you know.
Right, right.
The things that I live right around the corner from there. So the things that community went through, and I know how emotional it was for Jay and PJ and all those guys over there. So real happy for them. But we'd be happier if we won and they won and they come to Matawan in a couple weeks.
Now, I got to ask you real quick. You live in Brick, the other side of Brick. How long did you lose electricity for?
Let's see. I live right by Brick Memorial. I thought we had it back Thursday after the storm.
Oh, and I was gone for 10 days. I live on the other side. That's not fair. That's what I heard. Everybody in Brick had it back except me. What's going on?
We live right by the reservoir, so we're more of that northern area over there.
You know, we went on a tangent a little bit about the playoffs and, you know, one-win teams or whatever. But the reality is 28 of the 43 Shore Conference schools are in the playoffs. Your bracket, six of the eight teams are from the Shore. What does that say about Shore Conference football?
Well, I can tell you from being somewhere else. I mean, I coach in Union County, and I coach the Scotch Plains Fanwood High School in the height of the Watch On Conference when Elizabeth and Union and Lou Rutino and those guys were there. And then I coached in the Mountain Valley Conference when I was at Hillside. And I can tell you that the coaching and the level of play of football in the Shore Conference is unparalleled. These guys work. If you don't do your homework down here, if you don't prepare your football team, you will get exposed and you will get defeated no matter what kind of talent you have. Now, up in Union County, sometimes those guys are going to line up, do what they do, and if they can smash you, they run you over and win the game. Down here, you better be prepared. You better do your homework, or you'll get exposed.
Yeah, we've always said that. The coaching down here is just tremendous. I'm glad you finally got your shot at Matawan. I think it was well-earned after putting in all those hard years as an assistant. Certainly has worked out for you.
And I owe you a little thank you, too. Because if you remember, you were the one that told me that I should contact someone about doing a little broadcasting
That's
with
right.
us. Chris Barnes. It was Coach K I saw at the sportsmanship breakfast, right?
Yeah.
Back in the spring. And matter of fact, Chris is doing the game tomorrow night.
Is he?
He's done
us.
One for us. He's a natural.
He is.
I will be away this week, and I'm going to be at Penn State. So he's going to help do the Point Beach game with us tomorrow night.
Coach Barnes is a great friend of mine. I try to see him often. He lives right around next door to our soccer coach, Dave Deegan. So I'll go over there, and we'll kind of hang out and talk a little bit. But he's a great ambassador for the game of football.
Yes, he is.
He loves young people. He loves the game, and he's a knowledgeable guy. He'd be a great guy with a headset on.
Danny Inkle, I'm sure the way you want to go out is as a state champion, right?
Of course.
It all starts tomorrow night, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait to be back on the field.
Been a good week of practice. Everyone seems to be ready to go.
Oh, we've had a great week. We try to keep the tempo up and try to fly around. So,
how about the school, Danny? The kids
excited?
In school.
Excited?
Oh, the kids! Oh, they're very excited. Yeah. We actually have buses from our school that takes us
going
to the game.
Down
yeah, for,
we're having a pep, we're having a pep rally Friday.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
We're
going to
have a pep rally out there. Yeah, it's going to be a big game. So.
All right, well, this time tomorrow night, you'll probably be about halfway through the second quarter.
Coach will be yelling at you locker room.
What's the score 24 hours from now? What's the score?
The score 24 hours from now.
That's halftime.
Just before halftime. defense hasn't given up any points, right?
3-0.
3-0.
Wow.
They like that 3-0 score of Matawan. That's a reminder.
It kind of sticks a little bit.
Guys, I really appreciate it. John, thanks so much for coming down tonight and bringing the two guys with us. And we wish you nothing but luck tomorrow and for the rest of the season. It's been a lot of fun having you.
Thanks for having me, guys. You guys do a great job and great ambassadors for high school football, man. We love being a part of it.
Thanks. Finish
you.
Your dinner,
thank
all right?
You. Thank you. Thank
all right.
Thanks,
Dan
guys.
Inkle and Seamus Weldon from Matawan, along with head coach John Kay. They give us some time, and they'll be getting set to head to Long Branch tomorrow night, which should be one of the marquee matchups. We still got a lot of football talk coming up. We're going to take a timeout right now. Matt and Scott will rejoin us.
They were on the road.
Their union break is over. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7.
105.7. Now back to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show. Live from the Water Street Barn Grill in Toms River. Powered by Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
Hour number two on the Barnabas Health High School Football Show. Kevin Williams, Matt Harmon, Ed Sarluka, Scott Stump as well. Tom Tremblay here, making sure everything stays on the air. And Lauren Bajica back at the studios of 105.7 The Hawk. Hopefully, shortly, we'll hear from Monmouth coach Kevin Callahan. And Matt and Coach Cal can wax poetic about the season finale. Well, Coach is with us, so let's head right into the head coach of the Monmouth Hawks, who will close out his 20th season with the team on the road. Nothing like a Saturday in Coraopolis, Pennsylvania, right, against Robert Morris on Saturday at noon. Coach, good evening. Always good to chat with you, and I'm sure you're chomping at the bit to close this season on an up note after some disappointment of late.
Yeah, well, we certainly are, and you know, it's supposed to be a great day out in Pittsburgh, and I'll take 50 and sunny in Pittsburgh in mid-November anytime. But that's the forecast, and the forecast is for the Hawks to get back on track and get this win here. You know, we had a tough week last week, you know, coming off an extended layoff, but you know, not to use that as an excuse, but you know, we weren't the same team that we had been, and certainly the last time out when we played prior to St. Francis, which was in Pittsburgh. Against Duquesne, and so we're anxious to get back to work. It'll be the last game for all of our seniors, the last game of this season, and you know, I think the guys are anxious to get going.
Coach, you know, you and I talked during the week and on our show that we do on Tuesday, but even in just passing conversation with some people about the team, they said, oh boy, it's going to be hard for these guys to be motivated to have to take a 6-hour bus ride out and back to play a game that in the big picture of things might not mean a whole lot for conference standings or for recognition. But there are some things on the line, I think. And as you mentioned, trying to send the seniors out with a win, and with the win, you'd finish at 500. And as you and I have discussed, 5-5 sounds a heck of a lot better than 4-6.
It certainly does. And, you know, obviously, you know, our expectation and our goal going into the season was an NEC championship. You know, we know now, and we knew a week ago that that was something that, you know, was not going to be attainable for us. And so now it's all about going out, finishing the season on a winning note, having the seniors walk off that field, having won their last game, having the underclassmen, you know, win that last game as kind of a springboard into next season and into the winter program, but also to even the record at 5-5.
Coach, you know, we'll probably talk a little bit next week as we sum up the season, but you got to be happy with the way Kyle Fraser's played his senior year for you.
Kyle's done an excellent job, and, you know, to come back off the torn ACL as he did and to perform at the level that he has this year, I'm really proud of what he's done, and we're certainly very happy with what he's done. You know, he's a competitor. He battles. He finds ways to get the job done. You know, he's able to make key passes at key times. And, you know, he's done a lot not only throwing the ball this year, but also, you know, running the ball. He's gained, quite a bit of yardage on the ground and made something out of nothing. And he has the ability to keep himself alive back there. He's certainly, you know, as all our seniors, but he's certainly somebody, you know, that we're going to miss.
Would this be a game on Saturday where you might give some underclassmen a chance to play a little bit more to get a taste for next year, or do you basically go with your regular group?
Well, you know, we go with our regular group, and it's not a game where we're just going to go out and experiment. We're not going to take that, the ability to play one last game away from our seniors and say, hey, we're going to throw all the young kids in there and let them go play. You know, first of all, if a younger guy hasn't played up to this point, I don't think we would want to put him in the game because that would cost him an entire year of eligibility even if he played one play. And certainly our older guys have earned the right to play every single play, you know, if it is their last game, of their last game. And I want to see them do it. And I want to see our older guys go out and enjoy this game, play every bit of it as hard as they can, compete and come off that field, you know, knowing that, hey, they did the best that they possibly could. They helped Monmouth win, and it was a good ending to their career.
Coach, a little on Robert Morris. You know, they've had an up-and-down season as well, but they do come in having won three of their last four. You know, run a fairly pro-style offense. Joe Walton, the ex-Jet coach, has been their head coach since the program really got up and running back in 1994. But they do have a very good, talented quarterback in Jeff Sinclair.
Jeff Sinclair is a four-year starter. He's from the Pittsburgh area. You know, Joe has worked with him, you know, in each of these last 4 years, and he's really developed into quite a quarterback. He's somebody who can throw the ball. He's able to make plays running the ball. They have some design runs for him, you know, kind of not the spread option that you see now that's in vogue, but more the old, you know, quarterback keep with two guards out in front of him, you know, back when Joel Walton played. But it's effective. It works. They use it on third down quite a bit. They do a lot with formations to kind of get you into some funny positions and to test the edges of your defense, you know, and they're quite a challenge. And, you know, Joe's one of those guys that I really enjoy coaching against and going to play against. He's a gentleman. He's a terrific guy. He's obviously an outstanding football coach, and you know I just enjoy every opportunity that I've had to coach against him.
Well, we'll get a chance hopefully to talk about that regular season final win next week, and of course Tuesday night the final edition of the Kevin Callahan Show from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End, and it'll special broadcast time next Tuesday. You'll be on at 6, you and Matt, after the Monmouth basketball game, and hopefully you'll be in a good mood on Tuesday night, and then we'll talk with you later in the week. So have a good trip out to the Pittsburgh area, and come on back with a W, Coach.
We will, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, Kevin Callahan goes on his way, and we go back and talk a little bit about the high school game. Scott Stump from All Shore Media and Shore Sports Network has been with us tonight. Scott, what, you know, we did a lot of Mattawan Long Branch, but what are the games that you find intriguing? I mean, there's a lot of mismatches in the opening round of the playoffs, but what are the ones that, in your mind, will be games that in the fourth quarter are games?
Well, I think an interesting game is Colts Neck hosting Steinert. I mean, Colts Neck's the favorite, but they've only won one playoff game in their history. You know, this is their first home playoff game. Steinert, we know, made the finals last year in Central Jersey Group 3. So I think that could end up being a fairly interesting game. But, you know, Neptune-Lakewood, I mean, a lot of buzz about that game, obviously. This is Lakewood's first trip to the postseason in 10 years. As we know, it was only 2 years ago that they were ending a 33-game losing streak. And this is the first time they've ever played Neptune in the state playoffs in a football game. So, you know, even though Neptune's definitely the favorite in that game, I think that's going to be a great atmosphere at Memorial Field in Neptune. You know, so many subplots. You know, Tyrese Beverett, the quarterback for Lakewood, his half-brother is Keyshawn Rice, the senior wide receiver for Neptune. So, you know, those guys, there could be a point where, you know, Tyrese is covering him because he also plays safety. So I think that's a game that has a good amount of buzz around it. But, you know, you look in South Jersey, and I think a game that, you know, could really be interesting the second time around, Toms River South at Lacey in South Jersey Group 4. Obviously, Lacey's been tremendous. They beat Toms River South 42-20 in the regular season, but that game was 21-20 at halftime, and South ran for, I believe, almost 300 yards in that game. So who knows the second time around? And don't forget, Tom Kelly tore up Toms River South the first time around, the Lacey junior quarterback, who's now out with a broken collarbone. So it's going to be Connor Davies, although, yeah, there are reports that Tom Kelly could be back.
He is practicing.
Yeah, he's practicing because... You know, I was thinking that when there was that break from the storm and everything got pushed, that Lacey may benefit from that because Kelly might be able to return.
Yeah, I think if they had their, you know, their way, they'd like to hold him out two more weeks, which they could do if they win the first round.
Right.
And then have him ready for the semis.
And it definitely helps
the
they don't have a Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Game.
They would have 2 weeks before that semi. But he is practicing, and from what I hear through the birdies, you know, not looking too bad.
Scott, if Lacey is one team that maybe has to be mindful of that upset, who are some others in terms of higher-seeded teams?
Well, I think, like I said, Neptune, you know, is a higher-seeded team against Lakewood. And I think if you're a Mercer County team, you always got to guard against a Shore team coming into your field. Ocean just got into the playoffs in the last day. They're playing with nothing to lose. They're going out to Allentown. Manasquan on a high as the number 7 seed going out to Nottingham in that bracket. I think those are two games to keep an eye on.
You know, Scott, we never talk about RBC. You know, we just don't. You know, am I right, Kevin?
Well, we did a couple weeks ago. We had him on the show.
I know we had him on the show, but you know what I mean. Week by week, they've been number one the whole year, and we just
two
don't.
2 years.
You know, exactly. We just don't, I think, talk a lot about them. We did have them on the show.
Well, you know what it is? I think because so many times people think that their state bracket is a foregone conclusion the other way because of who they have to play. But, you know, this year, obviously, I think they'll be fine against Monsignor Donovan. But, the real question is always, okay, they've reached a level where they are above the rest of the Shore Conference right now, as we've seen so far. But can they take that next step and start tangling with these new North Jersey parochial powers and winning? They've shown they can push teams to the brink. They took Del Barton to double overtime last year in the playoffs with losing their, you know, 1,600-yard rusher in the first quarter, John DeStefano. But the question is, at what point can you go to St. Joe's Montvale and actually beat them? And that's what we're going to find out.
The good news is Coach Portella has raised the bar. He no longer wants to be competitive with those teams. Anything less than a W, he finds
and
very...
And the kids say that. The kids, it was funny, talking to those kids, they were actually mad that they got moved out of non-public four with Don Bosco and Bergen Catholic just because they said, we want to play the best of the best. But, you know, that is a gauntlet on a whole other level.
Good opportunity for us to mention it, and I think it deserves being mentioned. Monsignor Donovan would have been a six-touchdown underdog to begin with. To make matters worse, their junior quarterback and really the architect of their offense and a starting defensive back, Vinny Grasso, will sit out that game after being ejected from last week's game with Jackson Liberty on the fourth play of the game for apparently being in a fight. Subsequently, since that time, the Monsignor Donovan community has been very upset because they feel there was a great injustice done. The officials threw out the wrong player, and Grasso was not even in the vicinity of where an altercation took place, kind of on the Jackson Liberty sideline and out of bounds hit. Now, we've seen some pictures, you know, of which the young man in question is 10 yards away. You know, he's had to live with the fact that he was told, you know, you're rejected. And he had, of course, the officials screwed up because they let him stay on the field. He was on the sideline the whole game, as was a Jackson Liberty player who was thrown out. They should have left the field. You're not allowed to stay when you've been ejected.
Well, not only that, your name kind of becomes public.
And, you know, we were doing the game on the radio. We had to mention it. You can't say it. And it looks like, and I'll say it looks like, based on everything we've seen and heard, that the officials erred and threw out the wrong player. But there's no appeal for it. You can't go to... So, I mean, you
which
feel...
Which they did. They tried to.
They tried to, but there really is no process. Mm-hmm. It just seems so unfortunate that in today's day and age, if you have what they use on the NFL, right, indisputable evidence that you made a mistake, that it can't be corrected.
Yeah, I think that's really rough. And like you said, I mean, RBC is a heavy favorite, but it's still a great atmosphere.
Sure.
How many state playoff games do you get to play in your career, period? Mm-hmm. You know, you'd like to be out there on the field. And not only that, like you said, he's one of the leaders and one of their best players.
Yeah.
That's even going to give them a chance. So I just think I just feel really bad for him in the sense that people are just going to see his name and ejection and automatically maybe paint him in a negative light or something when it looks like he didn't do anything wrong.
All right, well, that's that. Let's move on. The game we'll be broadcasting tomorrow night is Point Pleasant Beach at home against South River. Kind of excited. Our first time on 105.7 with the Garnet Gulls, who have just been a great story the last couple of years. One of their senior co-captains is Andre Cochran, who joins us live on the eve of a big playoff game. Andre, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, and good to talk to you, and obviously this has just been kind of a magical season, but we would be remiss if we didn't ask. It has, I'm sure, been a very emotional time for you and all of your teammates, knowing the areas you live in by the beach, in some cases, were devastated by the storm, and personally, I think you had a lot to deal with as well, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's correct.
Tell us what happened in your case.
Well, living by the shore, we're like two steps away from the beach. So we evacuated that Monday afternoon, and our whole house got flooded. First floor destroyed. Backyard, front yard, all flooded out. So now it's just the whole process of rebuilding.
Right. I believe you're a Lavalette resident, correct?
I'm sorry, what was it?
No.
Do you live in Lavalette?
No, I'm Point Beach.
Oh, you are Point Beach. Okay. So again, and most of your, or many of your teammates have similar stories. I thought what was really neat though, obviously you had your own affairs to attend to with your families, but then just about all of you guys pitched in, and having a bye week really helped out in the community with all the other cleanup, right?
Yeah, definitely did.
I know you've relocated right into Point Pleasant Borough, right? Second home, which has helped you. Go ahead.
Yeah, our parents bought a second house, and we've been living there for the past week, just trying to, like, ride out the whole process of rebuilding.
Andre, let's talk a little bit about this Point Pleasant Beach team. This is a small school, Group 1 school, but I think plays like a Group 3 or a Group 4 school. Offensively, you're as good as, you know, any offense that I've seen this year. You know, you click on all cylinders. You run the wing tee perfectly. You've got the all three backs run the football very well. Defensively, a lot of you go both ways. You're tough on defense. You're averaging 45 points a game, unheard of for high school football in eight games. Tell us a little bit about this overall strength of this Beach team.
Well, we all kind of ride off of each other. Practice, it starts at practice. We come out, we know what we have to do. We watch films on the team, and then it starts rolling from there. Once we start practicing well, we take it day by day. And then once game time starts, once we start rolling, kind of hard for teams to stop us.
Andre, when you guys look now at South River and get set to get back on the field, number one, I would think that would be a welcome relief as to what's been going on to get back on the field. But has there been any concern about maybe being a little bit rusty since you guys haven't played now for 3 weeks?
Well, that can always be a problem, but we're handling it at practice, and everything seems to be clicking right now, so we hope we can bring it over to the game.
And, Andre, last year you guys kind of entered this tournament as a Cinderella story, underdog-type team. This year you're undefeated. You've blown out every team you've played. You're expected to be in that championship game in the second week of December. I guess how do you guys deal with the expectation this time around that the target's on your back?
Well, we don't really see it as a target. We see it as more motivation, especially with the disaster that just happened. We kind of want to help out our community and give them something back. So since they've been helping us, showing up to every single game, being the best supporters they can possibly be, it's our time to shine. So we want to give it all back to them.
And tomorrow night will be your first game since the hurricane, and of course a home game. And I understand what I heard today from your athletic director, Ellen Magliaro, that the state is going to allow you to waive charging admission tomorrow night, so they're going to collect money and again to help out the victims. What kind of atmosphere do you think will be at Point Beach for the game tomorrow night?
It's definitely going to be a positive atmosphere. It's going to help out the people that definitely lost a lot of their homes. It's going to give them something to take their mind off of. To see what we usually do, we're going to try and put on a show for them, distract them from the tragedy that happened, and just make it a happy atmosphere.
Andre, how difficult has it been? You know, I know Coach certainly probably preaches one game at a time, but you seem to be certainly on a crash course for Shore Regional, not once but twice. Thanksgiving to decide the division, and then perhaps for Central Jersey Group 1 championship. I'm sure you guys are chomping at the bit to get after them a little bit, but has there even been discussion of Shore Regional yet?
There's definitely been discussion because we definitely respect our program. We played them last year for Thanksgiving, which was a close game. I believe it was like 14-13. But, yeah, there's always that discussion, knowing that we're going to see them possibly twice down the road. We respect their program, respect their coaches, respect the players. But as of right now, we're just taking it. We got to handle South River, and then when Shore comes, it'll be game time.
Andre, as you know, I was at practice yesterday and talking with some of you guys and Coach Wagner. You know, look to me like it's a pretty loose bunch of players, you know. Although when Coach Wagner said something, everybody quickly shut up and listened. What has Coach Wagner meant, you know, in these two short years that he's been there to this Gull program?
He means so much to us. He's unbelievable. The amount of respect that we all show him, it brings us closer together. When he says something, we know we have to listen to him because we respect everything they've done for us, for other teams throughout his years of coaching. But, you know, when something comes out of Coach Wagner's mouth, we know it's serious, so we all listen.
Andre Cochran, senior co-captain. There's a whole community behind you guys tomorrow night as you begin your quest for the first ever state sectional championship in the modern era for Point Pleasant Beach. So we thank you for your time tonight, and we wish you a lot of luck tomorrow and the rest of the way.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. There he goes on his way. We've got to take one more quick break, and we'll come back. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7.
You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
All right, home stretch for us. I'm going to go through the football picks quick because we did them in advance.
Right.
So we can have a few minutes left, really, to kind of just go over a couple of things with Scott. South River, Point Beach tomorrow night. We all picked Point Beach. Mattawan, Long Branch. You think Coach K is listening on his way home?
He might be.
Okay. We all took Long Branch.
Now he's home already.
He's probably feeling good about that. Keensburg, Shore. We all went Shore Regional. Southern Washington Township. Now, by the way, let me mention, last week, Matt was 4-2, Ed was 3-3. I forgot to show up. I was 1-5. So now, with only a couple weeks left, Ed and Matt are actually tied for first, and I'm 2 games back, which it's just horrendous.
Never happens.
Never been in that
season.
Position. So because of that, I knew I had to pick a couple of upsets. Well, I'm going to give you one. I took Southern over Washington Township. Both of you guys went in Washington Township. Manasquan, Nottingham. We all went Nottingham. I think we all feel the same way that Manasquan made just too much effort last week, left it on the field. Toms River South, Lacey. We all went Lacey. Lakewood, Neptune. We all went Neptune. Jackson Liberty, Colonia. Ed took Jackson Liberty. Matt and I both went with Colonia. Okay, so there you go. So that's that.
Who's got the best picks of the week, Scott?
Like Kevin seems like he's reaching a desperation point.
Wow. Wow.
No, Southern, I mean, I don't.
Yeah. I think
don't
Washington's a big favorite.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, Washington's tough, but Southern's a battle-tested veteran team.
And they've played well in the playoffs. Over, even the years when they were an underdog, they've always given a good counter.
Don't forget, they're a senior-laden team, and those are always the hardest ones to knock out.
All right. Let's kind of run this around. Best, who are the, if you were betting money right now, what Shore teams on December 8th call themselves a state champion?
I think Manalapan, it's their bracket to lose, and Central 5 will be very surprised if they don't finish it, although South Brunswick is good. Central 1, like we said, it's going to be Point Beach or Shore. I pick Point Beach, but I think it's a Shore Conference team regardless. Those are really the only two guarantees I think I could give you. Central 3, we have a lot of teams, but the top seed, Allentown, is a legitimate team, but they've never won a state title. I don't think they've ever even been to the state finals. You know, to me, Neptune is still the team to beat. They're the defending champs. So if it's not them, it could be a Long Branch, who I also think is very good. If Long Branch can get past this Mattawan game, which I think is going to be very tough, I think they could finish the job and win their first title since 99. And Rumson, they're the only team we have in Central 2. Wequake, I think, will be tough in the first round. You could see Shabazz or something like that in the final. So
inconsistent they've been, Rumson.
You know, I mean, they've just... It might be bad matchups they might get, you know, but they're a good playoff team. They've been to the finals 2 years in a row, so you can never count them out. But as far as, like you said, I say Central 5 and Central 1, because in Central 4 you have Sayreville.
What about Lacey?
Timber Creek's tough, very tough.
Timber Creek's like an NFL team at this point.
Yeah.
They got 5 or 6 Division I players every year. Not that Lacey isn't well-coached and good enough to beat them. They've pulled off upsets over those type of teams in the past. But
getting to the final, good chance. Winning it, be tough.
I always bring up that beach brick game, you know, with Lacey. And that showed their vulnerability.
Yeah, but that also was they had just lost Tom Kelly the week before, I believe.
Yeah, it's correct. That was
the
kid's
first
start
game for Connor Davies. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I just think you look at Timber Creek's lineup compared to Lacey's, and you go, you know, that they shouldn't be able to hang with them, but you never know because, look, you know, Lacey's accomplished a lot.
Colts Neck in a similar situation if they get to a final, really good year.
I think, they've never been to a championship game. You know, if they get to the final and lose to Sayreville, to me that's the best year that program's ever had.
Big-time favorite, Sayreville, in that bracket.
Yeah, and Colts Neck's a team that even has had talent. A little bit of a reputation about being soft. I don't think they've been that this year
bit. This team, they deserve
a lot of credit.
I just like their balance. You take away their running game, they can throw the ball, and vice versa. And I don't, you know, I think they're physical enough to slug it out with Sayreville and at least really give them a game if they get to that point. And, you know, we're totally discounting Middletown South, which is kind of crazy. But when you just lose by 19 points to Colts Neck last week, I mean, I'm sure some people have their doubts.
Well, I think the one thing you have to say about Middletown South, and no disrespect, in big games over the last few years, they've kind of laid eggs. They've really come up short.
2006, last winter, right?
Yes, and then the year they were undefeated, and they made the final and they played Monroe and got wiped out.
Got walloped.
You know,
we did that game.
We did that game.
You know, it's almost unfair because the standards are so absurdly high there that you're criticizing teams that are getting to state finals or whatever. But unfortunately, that's how high the bar was set by them. And, you know, when it's not reached, people are going to notice, I guess.
How disappointing will it be for Red Bank Catholic if they don't win a first-round game?
Well, they'll roll right over Monson.
Second round.
I think it'll be more disappointing if they don't compete. You know, if they lose by three or four touchdowns and the gap is still really big with them in St. Joe Montvale, that would be a big disappointment. I mean, they expect to win. You know, they think they could go up there. And, you know, physically up front, they can compete with St. Joe Montvale. I think it's a question of, you know, can they stop the skill players that some of these teams have? But I think physically, you know, going man-to-man on the line, they can really give them a game. They are closing the gap. I mean, I think they showed that last year, although Del Barton did get blown out by St. Joe's after beating RBC. So St. Joe's is the 800-pound gorilla. If you take them to the brink, you're really doing something.
Now, last year, RBC loses in the second round in the semis and still are voted number one in the Shore. Can that happen again this
year?
Well,
I've already mentioned that in the top 10 column that I wrote for Shore Sports Network this week. I'm awaiting a possible monster headache because if Manalapan finishes 12-0 and wins that bracket and RBC finishes
with a semifinal,
you know, 10-1 with a semifinal loss to a, you know, top five team in the state, the arguments will be crazy. I mean, you can do little things like common opponents. You know, Manalapan barely beat Middletown South. RBC beat Middletown South by 27. But you're kind of nitpicking at that point, and you can't count out Lacey. What if Lacey goes 12-0 and stuns Timber Creek, a tremendous team? They're going to say, we should be number one. Look at all the teams we beat. So it's one of those things that I will cross that bridge when I get to it.
Toughest bracket, Central 3.
I think in Central 3, when I looked at it, I thought it's tough. Any one of these teams can win or lose in
That's
the first
correct.
Round. And there's no
correct.
Other bracket I could say that about.
That's correct. No easy games in that bracket. Tough. You're going to be battle-tested with a Thanksgiving Day game thrown in the middle of it.
I mean, pretty much how many stalwart programs, Neptune, Long Branch, Mattawan, Manasquan, Ocean, teams that are there every year slugging it out, and a much-improved Allentown team that's sort of the new player on the scene, and then a Nottingham team looking to kind of gain some respect. Right. You know, that had a great regular season.
Yeah, they're the top two seeds.
Going to be fun. It always is.
Yep.
Look forward to this time of year.
I'm anxious tomorrow night. Kevin, hope you'll be listening on the Radio Pup, right? Will you? Will you be at Penn State already?
Yes, I'm going up early tomorrow.
You can catch us on Radio Pup, right?
Yeah.
Unlikely, Ed.
There's nothing going on Friday night.
I want to make sure that you're on the air.
Yeah. Well, we'll be calling if we're not.
Well, we hope to ride the Point Beach wagon a little bit because I think it's been a fun. It's as I said, I really do think it's been the best story.
I'm anxious to see the mascot voted number one mascot in the Shore.
I think there's a recount on the way. I think they voted in Florida for that mascot.
Still votes to be counted.
Still votes to be counted. Want to thank our guest tonight, Mattawan coach John Kay, along with a couple of his players for joining us. Long Branch's Danny George, Andre Cochran of Point Pleasant Beach, of course, Kevin Callahan. Scott, thanks so much for coming down. I'm sure we'll be chatting quite a bit over these next few weeks. And as the football season goes 1 week longer and makes the dips right into the basketball wrestling season,
I know,
it's just unbelievable.
As I'm writing my offshore football team with one hand, I'm going to be typing basketball previews with the other.
For thank you, Tom Tremblay, as always. Lauren Bajica back at the studios of The Hawk for a great job. For my co-hosts, Matt Harmon and Ed Sarluka, I am Kevin Williams. You've been listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show at our favorite place, the Water Street Grill in Tom's River. Good night, everyone.